Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody. I'm hoping you could hear me today. It is Friday. I just wrote in the chat to see if everyone could hear me. Yesterday, we had a long day of not being able to hear each other. And I'm not sure. Somebody type in that's in the chat. Let me know. And we'll go from there because that is just, we're off. We can hear you. Yay. Okay, great. Yesterday I was doing the show and when I found out you couldn't hear me, it was like the same person's dream. I thought, what just happened? Maybe I'm not supposed to do it. But either way, we're on and I'm glad we're here because today I had an anonymous letter from someone on Instagram who wanted to know what Christ says about suicide. And they were saying that they just are devastated, that they can't believe, you know, how could someone and what happens to them. And the one thing that Christ told me about suicide, which is why I always tell people, try to work it out. It's not good or bad to God. It's really just what happens for you because all of us come here to do something. Every single one of us comes here to do something. And we do it. We're done. We go back home. And yet, if we take our lives, it's like breaking a contract with yourself. You didn't do what you came here to do. And you know how in life, you go back and you try again, and that's what you do, is you automatically come back and you try again. And the way you come back is that you start completely over. You start from the beginning. You're born again, and you have to go through the whole thing again, and you have to face it again, and then you go through that part again, and you probably have more oomph to go over it and you won't know why, but deep inside you know that you already left and this is your second attempt somehow. Like, wow, this feels kind of familiar. This is why I need to do this. I have to make it through this, as opposed to the devastation and the isolation that happens to us when we're actually able to take our lives, because it's not an easy thing to do. It may feel like a relief to give it up emotionally, but it's not easy to take our soul out of our body. There's a reason for that. And in our world right now, we have a very high rate taking their lives because they're not finding purpose and they're overwhelmed and they don't know how to fit in. And it's either easy or it's not. It feels like to a lot of people right now, and they're younger. And suicide is, it's a scary thing for any of us to feel when it comes to the fact that sometimes we are the person who tells everybody, like, you know, I was going to kill myself, and then they expect a reaction or something, and then they dump it on other people. They need help and they get the help. And once they get the help, they no longer need to use that to scare themselves or others as an option. Like, wow, things are so bad. I want to kill myself, because we go through it. But again, telling other people saves you because you actually hear yourself say it. Now, there were times I used to think, well, it might be better if I wasn't here, because I used to feel like so much trouble to my parents and I wanted everything they didn't want. And we were just so much the same and yet so much different. Couldn't have a life because the restrictions were so tight. And I never did tell anybody, and I didn't even know how I would have done it. I never got that far. But I did not want to be here. And it's a very sad feeling. It's a last resort. And most people actually do it. They surprise everyone without having ever spoken on it. And people will say, well, God, I never thought he would do that, you know, or sometimes it's a comedian, or sometimes, you know, it's somebody you see when they're happy. And it's a very, very elusive thing their hand on. And sometimes in some moments, they cross that line. Sometimes it's, you know, through drugs or whatever they're taking, but just to be completely normal, you want to say, where you're not doing anything and you cross that line, you could only do it once. It's a very devastating end to your issues. And when people find out, they say, gosh, you know, they could have done something about that. And God doesn't get mad at us. And God doesn't try to hurt us. We just automatically come back and we face what we face again and we grow through it. And we keep trying till we get it right. And sometimes you will meet children that are born and you say, wow, they're really quiet, or they're really subdued, or they always look at things this way, and you never know who that soul is. And if they were someone who came back and they're trying it again, they say, gosh, you know, this person's always struggling, or this person, and you start making assumptions. There was also, I remember when I was younger, and I knew a little boy. He was 8 years old. I met him when I moved here. He was 8 years old, so in 85. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's gay. I just knew. The boy himself didn't know yet, but I knew. And I thought, oh, wow, with his background and his family, that's going to be hard for him. Before I knew or saw Christ. And I knew, and I loved that little boy. And I took him places and I talked to him and I let him know that, you know, bigger things about life, because I knew what he was going to face. And he did. His first relationship was with a young man, and they were together all the time, and nobody talked about it, nobody acknowledged it, maybe even were in complete denial of it. And then that went on for 2 years or so, and then we lost track. My kids needed me, and I went a divorce, and I was going through all these things. And in that time, he went through a really hard time. And he woke up in the middle of the night one night, and he went to his mother and he told her. He said, hey, you know what? This is who I am. And she said, I know. Go back to sleep. We'll talk about it in the morning. And I thought, oh, my God. So I get a phone call the next morning because he tried to take his life. Turned out it wasn't about them knowing. It was about him knowing. And he had a hard time dealing with it because coming out to part of the family that was strict from one background and the mother was from another background. And actually, I had two cases like this, but one took it further. He took a bunch of pills. And the good news was he started vomiting them. And before I knew it, they were behind my door. And I let them in. And we were talking to him first. If you don't mind waiting out in my yard, you know, I don't have an office. So if you could just kind of sit on the picnic table, I'll be back. And we had talk, and he said, well, I already know what's going to happen in my life, and I don't like what I think it's going to be my life. So I didn't want my life anymore. And I said, so it's not that you wanted to kill yourself, it's that you didn't want your life anymore. He said, yeah. And I thought it would just be easy to stop it. Goes on later on, you know, Christ talked about, you know, being gay. And he said, you know, the people that are gay, they're a challenge to us into understanding that love is pure, that love is love is love. We can't decide how anybody loves. The only decision we have is how we love. And the people who love what we look at as different or as a sin or as very bad, can all that energy on. And then when they find themselves being that person, they have no roadmap. But it's about acceptance. They came here to show us that love is love is love. It's just that the relationships are different. As we spoke and as we talked, and they were at my house literally the whole day. I had had a dinner party the night before, and he just needed to know that one person in this world said, hey, you're okay. We don't need much. We don't need something from everybody to validate us. But sometimes we're so rigid, the way I felt with my family, that rigidity of fitting into this template. And if you don't, you're wrong, you're weird, life is hard, people will say things to you, whatever it is. Nobody, but nobody giving up. And on top of that, forget anybody else, but do you want to come back and do this again? From the beginning. Because the suicides are just automatic comebacks. It's interesting, after seeing Christ, how level-headed I feel about us passing and why and about how. I have a completely different perspective than I ever had. And the perspective I have now lacks fear. What I do feel really, really sad about is the prematurity of us not being able to have helped each other in that time of need. And one of my biggest feelings for people, for us, is that we are resources for each other. Condemn and tell each other how to be because we're right. Who said? We are just an opinion of what we think is right. But learning to live and accept responsibility to ourselves and to leave that responsibility on us and not dump it on other people, that you have to be a certain way or you're wrong, you're bad, you're a sinner, you will die and you will go to hell and all these things. I mean, we are just pinning each other up against the wall. And seeing Christ told me there is no wall to pin each other up against except the ones we've created. Life is not for any one of us to judge another. And when somebody dies, and the question was actually about Origins of Truth, what does it say in Origins of Truth about suicide? And she went on to say that, you know, it's not in the culminations of the book. And I said, no, it's written giving up. And God doesn't give up on them, even though they think that, okay, I'm going to end it all. They've just begun. And to take that a step further, when we kill ourselves, we come back. But let's say somebody kills another person. And we have a lot of that going on in our world. And what happens? What happens to the person who did it? Because what they've done is just release that soul to go back home. And they're definitely, when they say you're in a better place, they're in a different place and a better place, both, because now they can see what they haven't seen and they understand. But what happens to the person who did it? Because, you know, we have courts and we have ways of punishing a soul for taking another soul out of its body and sending it home. But we don't look at it that way. We just say one person was murdered and then we get horrified for a minute. And these days we hear it so much that, you know, we just only have so much bandwidth that we can deal with all this stuff. So we have to be able to go on and survive. And sometimes we have to tune it out to do so. When we pass, whatever negative we have stays here because it can't cross over. Only purity sends us back home. Even if it is just pure pain and we take our lives and we go back home, even purity can still cross over. But anything less than that, because it doesn't have the energy to make it through, stays here. So when someone takes another's life, whatever you left behind, they get change happens. And that's why once someone does cross the line and they're able to take someone's life, they do it. They keep trying to justify their actions, but they can't get away from it. And the true punishment comes like that to them. Even the hardest core narcissist who has that psychopathy where they can kill another person, nobody gets free of doing something like that. Because we are not meant to do that to each other. So we live with the energy of the people we take, to our own torture. And then I always think to myself, well, who really died? It might look like the person you shot, but really you died. Person who's living. Because they had to see what they have done over and over and over again. But because people don't understand it that way, and especially people who've done things that others don't know about, or ordered things that hurt a lot of, they may be able to justify it, but deep inside, in their dreams, when things try to balance themselves out, you can't do that. You can't balance taking someone's life. Can't balance taking your own, let alone somebody else's. So death is a whole different ball of wax. We tend to think of it as, you know, we miss the people, especially people that are close to us. We miss everything we know about each other, a physical presence. But when we do hurt each other, the person doing the hurting is the one who needs the repair. And who gets the repair? Whether we take our own life or we take the life of another soul. I remember calling people because I had nothing else to call them when I first saw Christ. I never thought of us as souls, and I never thought of my own soul. I never thought, oh, my soul does this. And Christ said, and now I see it everywhere. And he was right on, you know, in 2002 when I saw him. The things he said to me, he said would be our language. Now I see self-love everywhere, people using the word soul everywhere. I see different versions of what I've written everywhere, not because it came from me, but because we're all on the same wavelength eventually. But the fact that I see it, and he told it to me before I'd ever seen it, is how another way I'm able to feel the truth of what I'm doing, because sometimes it's too big for me to handle. I mean, I'm a person, a mom, whatever, but none of us have a monopoly on wisdom. We are here as resources for each other. We are here to do our best, and sometimes our best is really hard to find. But if anybody feels that feeling of wanting to hurt themselves enough to release their soul from their body, they're gonna get another body, but talk to someone. Because using the word soul is saying, I want to kill myself. Say, I can't handle my life. And I want to release my soul from my body. Imagine saying that. But that's exactly what you're trying to do. The only way to escape is to get it out, and it's not easy to get it out. The way we speak, calling ourselves souls and not people. Imagine on the news them saying, you know, six souls were killed today in a shootout with an active shooter. Six souls. That sounds so different than saying six people were killed today, and you know, and going on, and then we, you know, hear it, we're mortified, we hope it never happens to us, but we don't know how to stop it. It's too big, it's too overwhelming. But when we use the word soul, even to the people doing it who've been hardened by then, who are out of their minds because they don't even know how to exit, and they figure they can take people with them because eventually maybe that's their way of doing it, because they can't do it themselves, but they can do it to others. And that anger gets thrown on the other people, and then they get taken out. I always wondered, God, is that a suicide? In a weird way, getting someone else to do it. But when we call ourselves souls, it's such a gruesome topic in a way, but when we call ourselves souls, we look at ourselves as a full, well-rounded entity. Say the word soul, we connect to the deeper part of us that we all know exists, whether we ignore it or not. So to answer your question, what happens to suicide, or what even happens to anyone that passes, is they go back, they're greeted by their family that they knew, pets that they had, and they do those things. They look at what their life was like. They look at what happened. They look at what led up to that despair that made them feel so isolated. And then they come back, and they're born. And they're born to a couple who needs the growth they are, and they are born into a similar situation, and then they go through similar circumstances, and then hopefully in this try, they overcome that part. And once they do, and they are able to overcome it and be here, you hear a lot of people say, God, I had such a hard time before and I feel great now. And they can accept the greatness, because that's another thing that I have learned through Christ, was that for people who haven't had what they wanted, and they've wanted it for so long, it's hard for them to accept getting what they actually wanted. Because they don't know how to deserve good feelings about themselves. They don't even know who they are with good feelings about themselves. That's why Christ says every change is a million baby steps. I see Francis wrote in the chat, and that happens a lot. And, you know, I live in L.A., and that we went through a period of time where that term became a term, because we had seen it so much. It quieted down. It seems like things go in phases as they report. Then it happens here, then it happens here, then it happens here, and then it fades out, and then something else comes in. And that carries. And I don't know if the news helps it along, or if I don't know how that happens, but I kind of suspect that that's what would be the case. But the soul is a gentle, loving, full, completely encompassing entity within each of us. actually knows everything, whether we are veiled from it or not, but it knows everything. And that's why Christ keeps saying, ask yourself your intentions. Is your intention to hurt yourself for real? Or is it a cry for help? Do you need help? Other people are resources. There are people that are here to help us. Please, if you're feeling anything like that, reach out to people who love you, who will be affected. Surprising them and yourself in this way, and then finding out that you got to come back. And one thing I hear a lot from people is I never want to come back again. And they feel like they're saying that, like, you know, I'm doing it this time. But you will come back again. And it won't be the choice. It won't be like, well, I want to go back to Earth again and live a life. And it's not the way we think in terms of reincarnation. I used to think about reincarnation. I thought, oh, people come back over and over again. But usually you go back home and you decide. You decide, do I want to go back and learn? And you decide what you want to learn. And some people do and some people don't. Not a have to. It's interesting. The bigger picture is interesting. I don't talk about it very much. And I think our question, it's a very multifaceted question that maybe before I saw Christ, well, definitely before I saw Christ, I would have answered differently. But I feel really calm about it. It doesn't scare me. It used to scare me, and I would talk about it that way, like, oh my God, we don't want that to happen. We already know we don't want that to happen. We already know we don't want anyone to take their lives or hurt themselves. But with the right awareness, we may not want to do it to ourselves, because it's our journey, our story, our world, our life, our relationship with God, our relationship knowing Christ or any of the other angels that exist that are written about everywhere. Brand new story to know we have angels or we have Christ or we have God. The brand new story is understanding that love for us that's for us no matter who we are, no matter what we are, no matter what we've done, no matter why we've done it. It's not their price to make us pay for it. We pay for it ourselves. We have to go through it ourselves. There isn't a punishment that's waiting for us to beat the good out of us. It doesn't work like that. It's that we naturally want to be better once we realize and have the awareness of what we've done to ourselves. What we have done to our learning and the evolvement. And if you've ever seen patients, it's in God. I love you guys. I will see you Monday morning. Take care. I only have like 8 seconds left. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.